Amen. Well, thank you. Let's be seated, everyone. All right. Walking together in our Christian faith. I actually went on a march like that through Reno one day. It was called the March for Jesus. And some of you were there way back in the day. Remember when we marched through downtown? Some of you do, representing Jesus. Walking together in our Christian faith with a little different angle today. Being Baptism Sunday, just such a very, very special day, really. I remember when I was baptized, and I wanted to show you a picture of it. There it is. Yeah. That was in 1965 at the Reno YMCA pool on Foster Drive. Now where the Boys and Girls Club, I believe, is. Yeah. And there was my pastor praying for me then. And very special. Remember that. Here was my baptismal certificate. And very special. Here was the church that I was going to here in Reno. The First Evangelical Free Church was renting a building down by the university on 8th Street. It's no longer there, but that's where I used to go to church when I was a little boy. So, you know, I got to tell you, I have really special memories when it comes to baptismal Sundays. And I've had a love for God's house since I was a child. See the bell tower there on that, right behind the telephone pole? Yeah, they had a bell tower there. We weren't supposed to try to ring the bell, but, you know, I tried. Got in trouble. But the rope was hanging there. I mean, I just wanted to pull it. You want to hear that thing ring, but they said, no, it wasn't supposed to be. It was tied off, actually, at the top. But anyway, I loved God's house. Wonderful memories there. Children's ministries, great people. I know some of you have similar sentiments about your upbringing. And all of that brings us to the glad reminder of what is our launching text today from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. It says, we should keep on encouraging each other to be thoughtful and to do helpful things. Some people have given up the habit of meeting for worship, but we must not do that. No, we should keep on encouraging each other, especially since you know that the day of the Lord's coming is getting closer. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right, so everyone, I'm giving this message today on this Baptism Sunday as a refresher course for those of us who are already a part of the church. But I also am making it an appeal to those of you who currently are not part of a local church family. Because I'm sure there's some folk here today that's the case. And somebody watching online, perhaps, too. And I believe it's actually a timely message because many surveys tell us that currently a lot of Christians don't think it's really that important to be a part of a church. And, you know, post-pandemic, that's gotten a little more so. Yeah, I guess from what interviews tell us, they believe that you can have a strong relationship with God without being committed to a local church. And some of the reasoning is this. They argue that churches are flawed with conflicts between different churches and disagreements among people in the same congregation. And they also point out that some Christians are just hypocritical. Well, friends, you know, all of those things are arguably true. So I do get where they're coming from, and I understand their concerns. However, I want to submit to you that as followers of Christ, we shouldn't just rely on our own opinions and observations regarding flawed human behavior, like our own flawed human behavior as well, I just would like to point out. No, rather you and I should follow what the Bible says. It's God's word. And again, what does it say? Well, here in our Hebrews text, it tells us to encourage and support each other. And then it gets very specific, not neglecting to meet together in order to do that. You know, physical proximity has its benefits. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And saints, this is really so necessary in these days that our connections, you know, has skin on it. Because, you know, living anywhere in the world these days is a stressful experience for believers in Christ. And so you and I need the church to give support, to give care, to give connectivity to each other, and, just like we're doing this morning, to center ourselves in worship of Almighty God in Christ, Creator of heaven and earth. Are you with me in that? Yeah. Yes, and perhaps that's why a 2022 article in Vice magazine argues that the first structure that we humans will probably build on the moon after we have completed building a landing base there will be a church. Sure. Which absolutely makes sense. You know, Christian missionaries and ministers have historically built churches in the harshest of climates all over the world, whether they be the tropical jungles of Africa or the sun-drenched deserts of Australia. In fact, for example, when the Ross Sea Party of Ernest Shackleton's Antarctic expedition of 1914 landed in Antarctica, among the men on the team was an Anglican priest named Arnold Spencer Smith. Spencer Smith set up a small chapel in a dark room in Scott's hut at Cape Evans. In that dark room, he built an altar with a cross and candlesticks and a sacred chest where he blessed the sacred sacrament, the bread and the cup that's used for Holy Communion. And today, actually, there are 8 churches in Antarctica. Yeah. One is an Eastern Orthodox church built of wood in the Russian style. You see it on top there? And another is the Chapel of Our Lady of the Snows, which is a Catholic church located in a cave in the ice. Look at that there. That one is the most southern place of worship of any religion in the world. And the article goes on to report, churches have been erected in Antarctica since the 1950s. Here's why. Extended stays in the region can be an extremely stressful experience for the researchers who often stay separated from their families for months at a time, which is one of the reasons why churches exist in this most remote continent. Isn't that something? From one end of the earth to the other, from one pole to the other, the church. Are you seeing it with me, everyone? Yes. Christian missionaries and ministers have historically built churches in the harshest of natural climates, but, somebody say with me, but, yeah, they have also built churches in the harshest of spiritual climates. For example, even building a church in 2017's second most unchurched community in America, along Interstate 80 in West Reno, at the Mogul exit, where here we sit together today. Yeah. Wow. And why? Well, again, I say, because living anywhere in the world is a stressful experience for believers. And it certainly can be here in our area. We were also in that same survey noted number 8 for used to go to church. 8th most for people who came here and then left church, used to go to church before they came here. And then they left. Yeah, tough space. But dear ones, yes, you and I very much need the church to give support, to give care, to get connected to one another, and to center ourselves in the worship of God in Christ. Now, that being said, listen, it's certainly true that some people can't physically attend church for some legitimate reason, or they don't even have a Bible-believing church nearby. I want you to know, look, we extend grace, lots of it, to folks in those situations. Someone maybe even watching online today with the health problems I've had. As you know, those of you that have been around a while, there's been months where I've had to be at home watching and worshiping with you online. And so I understand the value of church being mediated to us sometimes through these means. And there's some folks that, because of infirmity or because of being a shut-in or because of work even sometimes, can't be here. Those are legitimate reasons. We extend grace to that. And I'm glad you're having church with us today, if that's you. Thank you for being here. God bless you. And we don't want there to feel like there's any distance between us. But if we can be here, if we can physically be present, unless we fall into those exceptions and we want to have a strong, growing relationship with Jesus, it's important to be part, in an in-person way, of a local church. And so, drawing upon the insights of others as well as my own, that importance is what I want to talk with you about very briefly today, right now. And so let me begin by asking and answering a very basic question, friends, which is, who actually started the idea of church? Where did the idea of church come from? Well, listen, this is a refresher course, so I'm just going to remind you that the Bible says that our Lord Jesus himself set up the church. Jesus said, I will build my church. Yes, in Matthew 16, Jesus once asked his disciples who they thought he was. Peter said, you are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, I will build my church on that belief, and nothing can defeat it. Yeah. I wanted you to be clear on that, folks, that the belief Jesus talked about is actually Peter's statement, what we would call his confession of faith, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what the local church, the Christian church, is built on. In simple terms, we're saying he's the Savior of the world. We're saying he's the only hope for humanity. This is the basis upon which Jesus founded the church, and no evil can conquer it. Amen. Now, look, I know it's true that over the years, many movements have appeared and disappeared, but folks, the church, also known as the body of Christ, has thrived for centuries. And today, it's spreading rapidly worldwide. Now, in the West, where we live, the Western part of Western culture, there has been some decline, no question. But the greater part of the world, it's growing. And the question is, why has the church survived when so many other organizations have collapsed? Well, the answer is because it's God's institution. It's not a human one. I mean, can you hear that with me? Right. Jesus Christ is the creator, but he's also the supporter of the church. And even now he's working through his body to reach both believers and non-believers. And he's working through us. Say us. Amazing. But then that leads to another question, dear ones, which we've already touched on, but I want to get a little more specific, which I submit to you is, so when Christians say they don't need church, what does that even mean? I mean, at this point, you know, I get baffled at a certain point. What does that even mean? Well, again, I'm suggesting to you that it means that they think they can have a close relationship with God without going to church on Sundays or whenever the gathered church meets. Yeah, they have come to the conclusion that they don't need to get with other Christians for that support, encouragement, or prayer, that they're fine without it, or to have it mediated some way, I say. But brothers and sisters, here's the thing. If you and I can have a strong connection with God without being part of a church, then I ask you this question. Why did Jesus establish the church in the first place? If it was not necessary, why did he establish it? Seems like it was just sort of a waste of time on his part. It doesn't make sense. I mean, it really doesn't. Now, that's right, friends. If you took the same excuses people use for not going to church and applied them to other important areas of life, you'd realize how inconsistent we can be in our logic. For example, here are 10 reasons not to bathe. Number one, I was forced to bathe as a child. Number two, people who make soap are only after your money. Three, I bathe only on special occasions like Christmas and Easter. People who bathe are hypocrites. They think they're cleaner than everyone else. There are so many different kinds of soap, I can't decide which one is best. I used to bathe. It got boring, though, so I stopped. None of my friends bathe. The bathroom is never warm enough in the winter or cool enough in the summer. I'll start bathing when I get older and dirtier. Lastly, I can't spare the time to bathe. Yeah. I mean, I know you're hearing it with me, right? Yeah, if we take the same excuses that we use for not going to church and applied them to other important areas of our life, we quickly realize how inconsistent we can be. Now, folks, I know that's humorous, but it makes a point. Read it with me, please. Jesus didn't make a mistake when he created his church. I hope we can establish that. No, not at all. He was very intentional. He was very purposeful. He wants us to have relationships with other believers, to love them as ourselves. I've said this to many people over the years. You see, our faith is not just about loving God. It's about loving God's family too. Christianity is not just taught, it's caught. It's shared. Loved ones, being a family member of a church helps us grow in so many ways. Three areas. We grow in faith. We grow in the use of our spiritual gifts and in understanding the Bible better. We also learn how to connect and relate with one another. So if you're not already part of a church family, I really want to say, I really hope, I pray for you, somebody online too. I hope you find a group of believers who share your beliefs and teach the truth of God's words. But please try to get this at least established in your mind and heart. It's essential to be relationally connected with other Christians. Amen. Okay? Which leads to my next logical question, which is, why is it important for you and I as believers to meet together as a church? Well, there's a number of reasons, saints. First, quickly, I want to say, just like we did this morning, to lift our voices together to the Lord. Yeah. I'm saying that you and I as believers should come together as a church to worship God through our prayers, to worship God through our songs. Yeah, how many of you know praising God together lifts our spirits and strengthens our souls? Sometimes it even comforts our souls. You know, the songs we sing are full of truths too. Theology, truths that remind us of the blessings we have in the Lord. So it's not just like a pep moment. No, it's honoring God. It's establishing his presence with us. And there's power, too, in our united prayers. Do you believe that? Yeah. That's why we come together. It's also important for you and I as believers to gather as a church, yeah, to learn the word of God from those with biblical training or spiritual maturity. We're doing some teaching from the word of God right now. But here's the key. When we come to church, we do have to have a teachable spirit. We have to be willing to let ourselves learn, and we have to be willing to practically apply God's word to our everyday lives. It's not just enough to listen to it. We have to say, no, I'm going to appropriate it and live in accordance with what it teaches. And to that end, we have to be willing to let the Bible bring correction and direction to our lives. Because how many of you know if you're going to change something, it's called a course correction? Right? You and I have to be willing to be corrected and directed. Somebody say with me, corrected. Directed. Yeah. That's what the Bible's there to do. And when it gets to that point, that's where a lot of people check out. They love the Bible until it starts what? Cutting across them. Until it starts correcting them and redirecting them. And it's, oh, no, wait a minute. Okay. Yeah, sadly, many people today prefer to hear what sounds good rather than sound doctrine. But the Bible's there to help us find God's purpose, and it's a joyous purpose. It's living life to its fullest, a more abundant way of living. That's what Jesus taught. So we're not being deprived when God corrects us. No, he chastens those whom he loves. But hey, as the body of Christ, you and I also come together as a church to support missionaries who spread the gospel to different parts of the world. You know, over the years, you've seen our outreaches around the world, Africa, Guatemala, other places. Friends, through our prayers, through our communications, through our financial support, we come together to fulfill the Great Commission of taking the good news to other nations. We want to take it to our nation, first and foremost, but we're going to take it to other nations too. But then there's something else that's important about coming together as Christians for the church, and that's what we call Christian accountability. Amen. Attending church also helps you and I as believers stay connected to God. How many of you know that your life, you're on a mission? You're on a mission from God. But if you don't check in home base, you can start what's called mission creep. And you can start creeping away if you're not accountable. Church recenters us every week. I always consider church being like a recentering. A recentering. I mean, yesterday I had to, does your internet do this too? Sometimes you've got to unplug your modem and your wireless router and then reset them. And then all of a sudden your internet comes back. Boom. I don't know what happens. It gets all like bogged down or something. And you got to just like reboot it. I think church is like a spiritual reboot. And that's how I see it. We get recentered. We get dialed back in every week. Our perspective gets realigned. But it's also not only that in our relationship with God, but we say, I'm going to hold myself, therefore, accountable to high moral and spiritual standards. High moral and spiritual standards. I'm reminded that I'm reaching for the high calling, Paul said. Not the low calling. Reaching for the high calling of God in Christ. Jesus is our example. So without regular exposure to scriptural truths, it's easy to drift away because the world is a very distracting place. And the other thing is that we also lose the lack of watchful care of our brothers and sisters in Christ over our lives. When we come to church, you know, others are checking on us. The Bible says we ought to be our brother and sister's keeper. And we ought to be checking each other out, you know what I'm saying, in terms of saying, how's that brother or sister doing over there? Maybe we go ask them, how you doing? Can I pray for you anyway? We need that care. We need that accountability. People ask, how you doing in your life? Sometimes the hard questions. So church helps us keep on point. We also gather as believers to exercise our spiritual gifts to benefit the entire body of Christ. And look at that church with all the different names and there are various types of spiritual gifts, whether it's administration, prophecy, mercy, teaching, or another of those many gifts. All these gifts are meant to be shared with others for the common good. In other words, these are things that we're to do. This is the arena. This is the environment where we exercise those gifts with our fellow members of the body of Christ. And if we don't have the church venue to do it, these spiritual gifts just sit on the shelf. They go to waste. I mean, every one of the spiritual gifts in your life has a best if used by date on it. You know what I'm saying? When you look at your food, best if used by, your gifts are that way. Best if used by Sunday. Okay? And so sharing our gifts, that's why we're here. And lastly, to make the Christian impact on the world stronger and wider, it's important for you and I as believers to be dedicated to our local church. Yeah, church membership matters. We have a membership class going right now, that's right. Because church membership matters. You see, saints, when you and I come together as a community, the influence of our church grows exponentially. And when we're in a committed relationship, when we are dedicated, it's even more powerful. We can, yes, join forces to raise funds for local ministry, mentioning loaves and fishes there today, and global missions, as well as find effective ways to reach out to our own neighborhoods and our community. But here's the thing, dear ones, God works in amazing ways through churches where every individual is dedicated and feels valued and knows that their contribution to the ministry really matters. And that's why in a church like ours, in God's eyes, every believer is equally cherished and significant, and the focus of our service even today reminds us of that reality. 80 years ago, a Philadelphia church congregation watched as 3 9-year-old boys were baptized and joined the church. Not long after, sadly, unable to continue with its dwindling membership, the church sold the building and they disbanded. Well, here's the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. One of those boys grew up to become a well-known Christian author and sociologist in Pennsylvania. And he recalls this. Quote, years later, when I was doing research in the archives of our church denomination, I decided to look up my childhood church's report for the year of my baptism. After searching carefully, I found the report. Ah, there was my name and the names of the two other boys. One boy had grown up to become a missionary. The other boy baptized that day ultimately became a professor of theology at an African seminary. But then I read the short-sighted comments in the church report for my year. Quote, it has not been a good year for our church. We have lost 27 members. 3 joined, and they were only children. Oh. Wow. You see it, huh? Sadly, that church recorder really missed it. Really missed it. Because the truth is, loved ones, all believers of all generations and all stages and all ages are equally cherished and significant in Jesus' church. And I started by showing you a picture of me when I was just a little boy being baptized. And we've got some children today being baptized too. And we've got some older brothers being baptized too. All generations, all ages. Praise God. All right, well, listen, dear one. If you want to fulfill God's purposes for your life, it's important to be a part of a community of believers. Remember, if you belong to a local church, it's going to allow you to receive teaching from the Word, worship with other believers, use of your spiritual gifts, building close relationships that will support you in life and carry on into eternity. So here's my final statements. Please, look for a church family that believes in the Bible and follows its teaching. Just don't go to church. Please find ways to get involved and make a difference. As nationally noted Pastor Rick Warren points out, he says, the difference between being a church attender and a church member is commitment. Attenders are spectators from the sidelines. Members are contributors. Attenders want the benefits of a church without sharing the responsibility. Wow. Did you hear him there? You know what I'm asking you to become, right? It's the Lord's call. Move from being a spectator, move from being an attender to becoming a committed member of a local church. Yes, become committed to Christ and his church. I'm telling you, your life will be blessed and transformed by the Lord Jesus in amazing ways. And so will the lives of those who are alongside of you in your journey of faith. And so I'm asking, will you make or renew that commitment to the Lord and his church right now with the help of his Holy Spirit, because it always takes that. If you will you say amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Okay, for someone here who's new to the Christian faith, I just want to say before you ask, why church? You really need to ask, well, why Jesus? Why Jesus? There's a little booklet we're going to offer you after the service. It'll be available out in the lobby. And it's a red little booklet, and it has a big white question mark on it. So look for it when you head out the door. There it is. There's a picture of what it looks like. Thank you. Because that'll explain what we're doing here today and how the basis of it is all about a personal relationship, first and foremost, a saving one with Jesus Christ. So if that's you, grab that. Step one. Then, once there, This is what happens, step two, being a part of a church, becoming baptized, publicly professing your faith. So I'm just glad you came today, and I hope that we're blessed that you're sharing our joy, but I want you to share that joy and know that joy in your personal life as well. The Lord's calling you. So today's a day of, I want to say, destiny, I hope, for you in many ways. Well, okay, so the waters of baptism are where so much of the spiritual change and connection can find its beginning in our lives and in the lives of our children and the generations yet to come. So now let's gladly begin our baptismal ceremony, all right? All right, so here we go. So I'm going to invite the baptismal candidates, if they would all come and please get on the front row right there. Can we do that real quick? Thank you. And let's come over here and get situated. Oh. So thank you. No, it's toward the end. Thank you. All right. The baptismal font. Very good. Okay, so everybody on the front row there? Is Delilah? Where is she? Oh, okay. Maybe we could go get Delilah. Because we have one more. Can you hold on to that? Thank you so much. Okay. So Pastor Dave's going to be joining me today. Thank you. They're on their way. We're waiting for our youth. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, if you need, if dead air is a problem and you don't like the quietness, you can turn to somebody and say, they're waiting for the youth to come in. That's what's happening right now. You'll be here in a minute. In just a second, huh? Feel free to share that. Oh, here they are. Let's welcome our youth, everyone. God bless you. Good job. Yay. Okay. So I think that, Neil, maybe I will have that song right now. Can I just ask, is someone checking on Delilah? Oh, okay, she's getting her robe on. Okay, thank you so much. Let's go ahead and sing that. This is a hymn, simple hymn.
Yeah, let's stand together as we sing. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. And you came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I might want you to reprise that in a minute. So I really like that. All right. Very good. All right. So everyone, you guys can go ahead and be seated for the moment. Thank you so much. Our baptismal candidates, which are the members of our church family today, will be Angel Navas, Eric Wilkinson, Nalea Vasquez, Nalea Vasquez. Did I say it right?
Nalea.
I had it right the first time. Okay. I love that name. And Delilah Esler. Okay, very good. Thank you. All right, so everyone, our Lord Jesus, before he went back to heaven, commanded his followers to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus promised that whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. So let's join together now in asking God's blessing on these who are coming to obey their Lord in baptism. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the source of grace and you are the source of mercy. And so we present to you your children this morning who, in Jesus Christ, as your Son and our Savior, believe and who want to obey him in all that he commands. Father, as each of them follows Christ into the watery grave of baptism, we ask that they will truly be enveloped with Christ and rise to live a new life. Help them to put on the full armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation. May their feet be fitted with the gospel of peace, and their protection be the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Please grant the Holy Spirit to fill them, gift them, and work in and through them. Let love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control abound in their lives. And help them be faithful even to the point of death and receive from Christ the crown of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and invite them one at a time. And I'm going to invite Angel Navas to come first. Thank you, Angel. Would you hold this for me? Thank you. I want to use that first. Bless you. Who happens to also be my brother-in-law. Yay. Thank you. This is great. I love you. Really a representation of your life to the Lord today. A reconsecration. Just a renewal of the covenant that you have made, but an important one. So, based upon your love for the Lord and your commitment to him, you're going to follow him all the rest of the days of your life.
I will.
Yeah. Well, because you professed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've repented of your sin. Now, in obedience to his command, I want to baptize you then. You ready? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All hold on down. There we go. There we go. I want to anoint you with oil, too. Thank you. The anointing with oil, the seal of the Holy Spirit, sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. Eric Wilkinson. Let's give Eric a big hand.
Straight to the deep side.
But bless you, brother. You know what? Your smile always makes me smile. You just spread a lot of joy. So your profession of your faith in Jesus is now publicly. Thank you. And you'll follow him all the days of your life. Yeah. We're thrilled to have you as part of the church family, too. I just want you to know that. Well, Eric, upon the profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that you're doing now publicly, and because you have repented of your sin, now in obedience to his command, I want to baptize you. So if you get ready, baptize you into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now I'd like to anoint you with oil also. Anoint you with oil, the symbol sealed with the Holy Spirit of God till the day of redemption. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you. All right. Yay, Eric. All right. Let's go with Delilah next. Thank you, Delilah. Let's give her a hand. Something floating around in there. Hi, Delilah. It's so good to see you. Well, the Lord bless you. You have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, invited him into your heart, right? Yeah, and you're going to follow him all the days of your life. You love him? Well, he loves you too. Well, you're telling everybody that, and we believe he has a special blessing for you today. So, because you have professed your faith in Jesus Christ publicly, and you've turned away from your sin, repented from sin, then in obedience to his command, I want to baptize you now. Okay, so you ready? Into the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to anoint you with oil too, so here we go. And we anoint you also with oil, the symbol of the Holy Spirit, sealed to the day of the Lord's redemption. Amen. Bless you. Yay. All right, now Pastor Dave. It's Pastor Dave's privilege.
This is Nalea Vasquez.
Hey, Nalea.
And she is my next door neighbor and my very good friend.
Yay.
And so I was thrilled and excited when she asked me if I would be willing to baptize her. Based on that public profession of your faith in Jesus Christ, I'd like to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Is that okay? Go ahead and plug your nose.
Here you go. Yay! Thank you. Thank you.
And I'd like to seal you in the Holy Spirit with oil.
Thank you.
And I just lift you up before our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Sealed until the day of redemption. In his name and
prayer.
Amen.
Yay.
Huh? Thank you. Thank you. This robe was a little on the big side.
Yay. Bless you, Nalea. Thank you. All right. Let's reprise that song one more time, the celebration for a moment.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. And Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises, and I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Amen. All right, so, hi. Dear ones, having now been buried with Christ in baptism, you are raised to a new life. And as the scripture says then, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I want to present you with your baptismal certificates. There you go. Angel. Eric. Alea. Thank you. And Delilah. Thank you. God bless you all, okay? Yay. What a joyous day. And to everybody that joined us today and some family and friends, thank you so much for being here. And we want to invite you at this time to, well, I'm going to give you a blessing before you go. How about that? Let me go up here. But then we want to invite you to make your way, if you would like to join in some coffee and just some refreshments, to the Tahoe room or to the lobby to greet one another. But it's a great day in the house of the Lord. Amen. All right. Also, there will be prayer up here afterwards. If you have a prayer need, we always want to make that available. So if anyone would like to have prayer, please come for that. There's some sign-ups out there in the lobby that you heard mentioned before. Is there anything else that I'm forgetting? Get caught up in the moment here. All right. Well, then let me leave you with this blessing, and online family, thank you for watching with us today. And now may the God of the heavens cause you to soar. And may the Christ of the journey make your feet light. Pick up your feet. Make your feet light. And may the Spirit of power fill your heart with courage. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, everyone. Greet one another warmly. Have a wonderful week. Join us for some fellowship and say, hey, God bless you to our new baptismal family members. Baptized family members. Thank you. God bless you. Thanks for being here, everyone.